that make us happy. And there are spiritual blessings that God gives us, and there are blessings that God gives us every single day. But at the same time that that's going on, we have to realize that our happiness as believers, this again was to the believers. This is not a message of salvation. This is to us as believers on how that we should be happy and how that we should be joyful no matter what's going on in our lives. That as long as we keep our eyes on God and keep Him first in our life and the spiritual situation in our lives, walking close with Christ, that's where true happiness comes from. Some of you have walked through some things since you've been alive. Some of you have been through tough financial times. Some of you have been through tough family times. Some of you have been through all kinds of things. And you can say that sometimes the way that this world treats you and the things that you go through in your daily physical life is not very happy. But if we can look tonight on what God gives us as a formula for happiness, we can find a way that we should have joy in the middle of that. That we should always see that Jesus has provided a way for us to be happy. So again, Matthew chapter number 5, we read the whole chapter last week, or most of the chapter last week. I'm only going to read the first 3 verses tonight. And again, if you'll go back and read, Jesus has just called his first disciples, and he is going to preach to them up on the mountain. So verse number 5, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Tonight I want us to look at our attitude toward ourselves. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And again, you could substitute there in verse number 3, you could substitute the word blessed for happy. So happy is the man, or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And when you look at that tonight, that is in a way that we should look at ourselves in our daily life. And here, this is not saying, you know, when we think of poor, we automatically think of finances and we think of that kind of situation. And, you know, I know that as long as we keep God first in our life and as long as we keep everything else in its proper place, that I don't believe there's anything wrong with Christian people being blessed financially. I believe that God will bless us financially enough that we can be able to be a blessing to others and that we can have plenty to give and plenty to live. That's kind of the way that you kind of can look at that. But this tonight is not talking about a financial situation. This is talking about how that we look at ourselves. And as you look at this, and the best way that I can describe it to you is in humility. How do you look at yourself in perspective with other people? If we're not really careful, we'll get to a place and we're walking with God and God is blessing our life and maybe we're not in the same struggles that we used to be in. And if we're not really careful, we'll get to looking at other people and the next thing you know, we're looking down our nose at other people or we think that we're just a little holier than somebody. Or maybe somebody that we go to church with, we find out that they have done something that they shouldn't have done, that they fall spiritually, that they made a mistake, that they sinned, however you want to word it tonight. And all of a sudden, we feel like that we are closer to God than they are. And man, we get a little bit puffed up. We get a little bit proud of ourselves because we're doing what we're supposed to do. And I want us to know tonight that that is not a recipe or a formula for happiness. The Bible teaches us, for one thing, that when pride comes into our life, it says you need to take heed lest you fall. So if I get to a place to where I think I'm doing just a little better than you, have you ever been around those people that like to talk bad about everybody else, and it seems like that they like to do that to make themselves look or sound better than what they really are? You know, if I can put somebody else down, and I can talk about, well, this guy over here, he can't preach a lick. I went listen to him, and everybody was asleep. Nobody, they heard, didn't hear anything they said because he had us bored out of our minds, and he stood real still and talked real soft, and man, all of a sudden, I'm lifting myself up and I'm putting him down. And we got to be really careful that we don't get into the place that we're doing that, because he says, blessed is the man who is poor in spirit. And that's not that we, that is also not that we as Christians should walk around with our hands in our pockets and we got to be just like this, scared that anybody's going to talk to us. We ain't got to put ourselves down. God has blessed us so much, and he has given us a place that we should be in, a place that we're happy, and a place that we know where our strength comes from. So now let's turn to Psalms chapter number 144. Psalms chapter number 144 will help us to realize how that we're supposed to live in humility, how that we're supposed to live an humble life. Because I truly believe that God wants us to be strong Christians, that he wants us to know how to stand on his word, how that we can stand up for ourselves. I don't believe that God expects us as Christians to lay down and let people run over us. I don't believe that God expects us to let other people treat us as dogs and just, you know, abuse us because we want to be humble or we want to have humility in our lives. A matter of fact, I was at a basketball game not too long ago, and there was a guy, and he and another guy, they were boxing each other out and getting ready to get to rebound, and I was sitting close with the other guy's parents, and all of a sudden, the player from the other team took a haymaker swing, I mean, at one of our boys. And, I mean, he was doing his best to knock his top off. And I know this family, and they're a good Christian family, and their boy got up, and he gave one right back. I mean, he come up a-punching, throwing swings like crazy. And, of course, both boys were, luckily, neither one landed a punch. Sometimes people need a little punch. It do them some good to understand life a little bit. But anyway, both boys were ejected, and actually, you know, they got to sit out for the next two games. And I was sitting there close to his mom and dad, and his mom said, "Wouldn't you know it'd be my son?" I said, "Look at it like this." I said, "Don't you dare say too much to him." I said, "That boy was paid for. Once he swung that first swing, you cannot blame your son for getting up and taking care of himself and handling his own business. Yeah, maybe it would be better if it didn't happen in front of 200 people sitting here in this gym, but it did." And when you look at that, I know the Bible teaches us, and I think people really take this out of context sometimes about turning the other cheek. I think people really think in this world that Christians are just supposed to lay down and let the world run over them. That's not what God's word says. That's not at all what God's word says. But we are supposed to live in humility, and we're supposed to live an humble life. So let's look at how we can do that. Verse number one, Psalms 144. "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." As you look at verse number 1 and verse number 2 of Psalms chapter number 144, one way that we can realize and that we can live in humility and be in poor in spirit, as it was talking about in Matthew chapter number 5, is we can realize without God, we can't do anything. The first mistake that we make is when we begin to think that we personally are capable of being success in anything in life. And when I say that when we think that, you know, we are familiar with that song, "I can't even walk without him holding my hand." And when we sing that song, I don't think that we really take it literally in our lives. But you know, when I got up this morning and my brain was working correctly and my heart was beating and I was able to breathe and life started. I mean, I know life was going before I got up, but that's when I realized that life was going because I was dead asleep before that. So as I got up this morning and all of those functions were working, if I will stop and realize for just a moment that the breath that I just took belongs to me, the next one belongs to God. And if he decides that I don't get that next one, then I won't take it. I'll fall dead right here where I'm at. And when I realize that my whole life is in his hands, that my strength, my ability to think, my ability to do anything, without God, I can absolutely do nothing. And I need to live in a place of humility and humbleness to God, knowing that he is my strength, that he is my ability to do anything. That when I begin to think that I have done something, that I have accomplished something, without God, I can't accomplish anything. He says, blessed, verse number one, be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. It don't sound like David was just going to lay down and let somebody run over him, does it? It says, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My strength, without God, I can do nothing. He says, my goodness, my fortress, my high tower. When we realize that anything that's good in our life comes from God, that he is our fortress and our high tower, our place of refuge, our place to hide, that he is our protection. I don't know about you, but tonight I was needing my place of refuge. I was needing to hide from the world, to hide from just the busyness of everyday life, and come in here in God's house and pause for a minute and say, God, speak to me. God, use your word and speak to my heart. Let me use a few minutes and look unto you for my help and my strength. Because life gets so busy sometimes that we go and we go and we go. And even I find myself sometimes, even when I'm sitting reading God's word, that my mind is somewhere else. That I'm not really thinking about what I'm reading. I'm not really getting a whole lot out of it. I'm reading my Bible to say that I read my Bible. I didn't stop and say, God, I want to be in your presence. But you know what? This is something that is a blessing to me as a pastor, because I know on Wednesday night that I'm getting ready to be responsible for feeding some people, and I have to stop and say on my way home, is most of the time where it happens, driving down the road, I'm probably a pretty dangerous driver on Wednesday afternoons. By I don't know where I'm going. Silas was driving home the other night from a basketball game, and I might be the very same way, and I was just about asleep. I wasn't paying any attention. I was laid back. Don't do that with somebody that's 15-year-olds just learning to drive. Pay attention to what they're doing. I look up, and I mean, we're 4 foot off of the road. This whole side of the car, and I'm hitting my brake that don't exist and jerking the car, you know. Son, what are you doing? I mean, I screamed, and he looked at me and he said, I was thinking about basketball. I don't know. And I'm like, Lord have mercy. Can't you think about basketball and drive at the same time? But it's probably sometimes on Wednesday afternoon, I'm probably in about the same boat. My mind is somewhere else. I'm driving home, and the whole time I'm saying, God, I've read, and I've had a thought process about what we're going to talk tonight, but the most important thing is I just want us to be in your presence tonight. I want to let the world go for a few minutes. I don't want to think about work. I don't want to think about playing ball. I don't want to think, God, I just want to be in your presence for a few minutes. I need to be in that fortress, in that high tower. He says, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer. When I realize that God is my fortress, my high tower, my place of refuge, that I'm hiding from the world, I'm hiding from all my problems here tonight, and sometimes you have to have a place to run and hide. The world is tough. Life is tough. We're getting older every day. Our bodies are breaking down every day. We're getting, most of us are getting weaker by the day. Some of us may still be getting stronger, but as the way that life goes, our existence breaks down day by day. And this world will break you down spiritually, physically, emotionally, any way that you want to talk. But man, right here in this place, I feel stronger than I do anywhere else. And I'm not talking about stronger. I'm talking about spiritually stronger. When I'm here with y'all, and I'm here in the presence of God, the Bible tells me that his presence dwells in his sanctuary. The Bible tells me that where two or three come together in his name, he said, I'll be in the midst. I hope you're here in his name tonight, not in the name of anything else, but here just asking God, just, hey, I want to be in your presence. And I'm stronger right here in my fortress, in my high tower tonight than I am anywhere else. Verse number 2, it says, my goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer. How many times has God delivered you? How many times has he saved you from our enemies? How many times has God saved you from your own self? God has saved me from my own self several times. You know, I realized a long time ago that I'm too dumb to even take care of myself, and I have to depend completely on God to take care of me. Autumn and I, the first house we bought, we had to have a filter in there because our water had a bunch of iron and stuff in it. And one night I went down to change the filter, and when I did, I took the filter out and I laid it over here in a little old laundry tub, and I put a new filter in, I put it in, and as soon as I turned the water on, all of the water in the house went white. And I was like, what in the world has just happened? And I went back down and I looked in that laundry tub, and for some dumb reason, I had set weed killer in that laundry tub. And it had a hole in it, and that filter had soaked up all of that weed killer. So now I got weed killer all in my water system at my house. Now what are we going to do? I'm fixing to kill my wife, and that's just all there is to it. I had a good chance here, and I didn't take it. So I called my daddy. I'm like, man, I don't know what I've done. I don't know what I'm going to do, yada, yada. Come, long story short, this weed killer had come in two parts. The first part you sprayed on to prepare the ground for the weed killer. The second part was the actual poison. And what I had put in that tub was just a part that got the ground ready for it. It was not poison at all. By the time I called everybody that I knew and poison control and all that, it was not harmful at all. And I realized right then, you know what? God takes care of us, and we're too dumb to take care of ourselves. And you know, God has had to save me from myself, not just in a physical matter like that, but so many times even in my spiritual life. I've chose the wrong direction. And God let me go just far enough for me to realize that I was in the wrong direction. And then when I looked to him, he saved me from my own self. So many times God has done that for me. He says, my goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he whom I trust, whom subdueth my people under me. Now we're talking about how to live with humility and how do we live with that poor in spirit. And when we realize that God gives us all of our capabilities, that he is where we hide, that he is who protects us, that he is who delivers us, and then look, in he whom I trust. You know what? It takes a long time for you to get to where you really trust somebody. People have to prove themselves to you over. Now, I'm a little bit backwards. I work a little bit backwards. I'm the kind of person, and it has bit me several times in my life, some just recently. I'm the kind of person, I usually trust people right up front until they prove me wrong about three times. I'm really bad. I trust people way too much. My brother told me that I could never be a cop or a sheriff's deputy. He said, because anybody that told you a lie, you'd say, okay. He said, if he's doing 85 and they said it's because he's going to see grandma, you'd believe him and you'd let him go. My brother's quite the opposite. He's a sheriff's deputy. He says, I believe nobody until they prove me wrong. But here, with God, I've trusted God. And you know the thing about it is he has never failed me. He has never given me any reason not to trust him. He says, and he whom I trust, whom subdueth my people under me. Lord, what man? Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? David said, now this is King David. This is somebody who has a lot of people under him, and he's very respected, that people bow to him. And then he looks and he says, but Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? God, why did you even think about us? We're failures. We have faults. You made us from the dust of the ground. But God, you took thought of us. You give us the strength. And you know what? Every single day when you get up, God has taken thought of you. He knows where you're at. He's given you strength. He's provided for you. He's taken care of you. And David said, but Lord, what is man that you would even take thought of us? Man is like vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. He says, God, just show up. He says, I don't know why you've even taken thought of me, but God, you just show up and you take care of business for me. Verse number 7, send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children. From great trouble, God, you've delivered me. Verse number 8, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and the right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Sounds like David's happy. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Look, he's begging God to deliver him from his enemies, and he says, and when you do, I'll be happy. Verse number 10, is it he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David, his servant, from the hurtful sword? Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, or from my enemies, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after similitude of palace, that our garners or our barns may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Verse number 15, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. When we realize that God is the reason that we exist, that God is our strength, that, you know, it's so sad, really. We live in a day and a time that God does not get the recognition for everything that he does. And yet people, they look and they think, well, I have accomplished this and I have accomplished that. And we know that without God that nothing would be accomplished. But, you know, we live in a day and a time to where the definition of success has been set to certain things that really don't even have anything to do with God. You know, if you don't do this, you're not successful, and if you don't do this. But if we can get up every day and live a life that is full of humility, a life that is humble, a life to where we esteem our brother or our sister higher than we do ourselves, you will find yourself in a place where you can be happy. Because when you get to where you put yourself on a pedestal, two things are going to happen. You're going to stay there for a little while, and then you're going to fall. There's going to be a day and a time to where even you don't measure up to what you think you should be or to what you claim to be. And the thing of it is we'll actually get to a place if we're not really careful. Now look, there is nothing wrong with being confident in who you are and who God has made you. Because we have the most awesome God. That's the reason it says, happy is he whose God is the Lord. There is nothing wrong with being confident in who God has made you and what God has given you. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we get to the place to where anytime you get to saying I too much, just watch out. Just be careful that we don't get to a place because we'll actually get to a place to where we think that we're doing so much and we'll take credit for so much. And I've seen it in my life that God has to bring us back down so that we'll look and go, oh, wait a minute. I wasn't doing anything. God was doing it all, and I quit giving him the glory. God was blessing. God was taking care of it. And all of a sudden, I thought it was all me. I quit giving God glory. And now God has to bring me back to where I'll look up and say, you know what, the reason that I'm blessed, the reason that I have strength, the reason that I have a place of refuge is all because of God. When we draw close, you know, the Bible says that he must increase and I must decrease. And if I live a life full of humility and I live a life that's humble, my life will show Jesus Christ. It won't show Joshua Seacrest. It'll show Jesus Christ. Again, please don't take it that I'm saying that you got to be somebody that just lays down and lets people run over you and Christians can't stand. You know, some of what's wrong with our country now is Christians sit down too much and we let people run over top of us too much when we should have stood up and said, no, that's not it. This is the way it's got to be. But even in standing, do you know that we can have humility? Even in standing, we can be humble. Even in standing, we can have love. Instead of, you know, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes Facebook is the most wonderful thing in the world, and then sometimes Facebook is the devil, and that's just all you can make out of it. And I'll see people get on there, and they'll put really, really religious stuff. Notice I said religious, but it is done in a way that there is no love in it whatsoever. It's just, I'm going to prove you wrong. And when we get to that place, we're not living this life of humility like God wants us to live. But we can be strong, we can be confident, we can be happy. But it's going to take being humble and having a life full of humility. Sometimes I'm not. I'll just be straight up with you. And you want to know one of the people that I'm the least humble and have the least humility with is my wife. Yeah. I'll stick my chest out, and I'm the man at the house. I'm the bull of these woods, and with my children, too. I tell my son all the time that a pastor is only big enough for one bull, and this is it right here. But even in all of those situations, you know, when I get that attitude, it ain't long till we're unhappy, very unhappy. So let's try to live in a way that reflects God, that shows a life full of humility, a life of humbleness, a life that points back to God, knowing that God is my refuge, he's my strength, he's my high tower, he's my blessedness, that God is everything to me, and without him, I'm nothing. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. And God, I do pray that you'll help us to stay humble, God. God, that you'll put us to a place that we know that you don't want us to lay down and let the world run over us. God, you've even told us how to put on that whole armor and to go into battle for you, God. And there's no way in the world that you want us just to lay down and quit. But God, that we don't get to looking at ourselves like we've accomplished anything. The only thing good that I've ever done is trusted in you as my Savior. And God, I pray, dear Father, that as we go from day to day, that we'll live a humble life, God, that we'll live in a way that points others to the cross, that we'll live in a way that gives you glory. And God, I believe if we'll do those things, we'll find ourselves in a place that we're happy. Blessed is the man whose God is the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.